Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different Podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this edition of the Built Different Podcast. Man, so excited to be back this week, back from the honeymoon. And you guys, it's just so amazing how good God is. I'm just so blessed to be able to call Evelyn my wife now. And man, we're just so ecstatic just to see what God is going to continue to do and just grow us together. And my prayer and my heart and our heart together is that we would just, that triangle of love, right? Where me and Evelyn are in the bottom two corners and God is at the top and he's at the center. And the closer we press into the heart of God, the closer we're actually getting to one another. So it's just been already, it's been a week, but it's been such a fun adventure just to go alongside of Evelyn, to walk alongside of her, to continue to try to lead her to the foot of the cross daily. That is my only prayer as a husband, that I would not be the leader because I know I'm going to fail, but that Evelyn Jane would understand and truly believe that I'm going to let God lead us and that I would humbly let him lead us every day of our lives. What a blessing she is. Sorry, I just wanted to brag on her and just talk about her for a second. But let me tell you guys something. Our guest today is honestly one of the most powerful voices in ministry in my mind. I mean, this guy is absolutely amazing. His name is Jedediah Thurner. He is the co-founder of One Day LA. And let me tell you, this dude is a hope dealer. I mean, he's got so much passion built up inside of his heart. He's a renowned speaker. I mean, he is just incredible. He oozes passion. You'll hear it in this interview, in this episode. I mean, it's straight fire to the point where it just gets me hyped up and motivated just thinking about listening to this again, this conversation, because, man, he brings the juice and he's on fire for Jesus. And that, there's nothing more that I love seeing in somebody than somebody like Jedediah who genuinely oozes and he reeks of the aroma of Jesus Christ. I mean, what a beautiful reflection and a depiction of who God is to be able to just pursue him so recklessly that people see something different in you. So man, Jedediah is just such a blessing in my own personal life, and I know he'll be a blessing in yours. One thing that I really want to highlight that he talks about a lot is that the best things in life or anything worth value in this life is going to cost you something. But the drug of choice to anybody that may feel like they have a calling on their life from God that can hear that calling, the drug of choice is comfort or convenience. We want everything comfortable. But I'm telling you guys, listen to what Jedediah talks about in this interview about comfort and about convenience and how we can really understand that what Christ did for us was sacrificial. He understood what it meant to give something up and to give it all because he understood that anything worth valuing this life, each and every one of us was going to cost him not just something, but was going to cost him everything. My prayer is that this interview would highly motivate you to press in closer to the heart of God, but also to go out and to recklessly love other individuals with everything that you can possibly give, just like God first loved you. Guys, that powerful episode and interview with Mr. Jedediah Thurner is coming up right after this short break.
It's no secret there's a beatdown on men. Anything that's masculine. From the radical push to feminize men, to changing the core of what it means to be a man. But God made man for a purpose and a reason. When King David was on his deathbed, passing the baton of leadership to his son Solomon, there's a lot he could have said to him. But he told his son these words, "Be strong and show yourself a man." You know why? Because he knew what was ahead of him. And it's because men matter, and they matter more than you know. It's time. Really, it's time to rise up. Some good news is that something is stirring. Something's happening all over the country and around the world. Men everywhere from every walk of life are stepping up and they're crying out, God, I want my life to count. I want to make a difference. I want to be all that you created me to be. You may feel as if everything is lost and that this is your darkest hour, but God loves to meet you in your brokenness. He loves to use those moments to remind you of his presence and his power, to send you running back to him for hope and strength. Hear me. You're not alone. God is there for you. And there is a remnant. There's an army. There's an uprising that's happening. Now is the time to show yourself a man and take it back.
Order your copy of Take It Back by Dr. Tim Clinton and Max Davis at timclinton.com.
Welcome back to the Built Different Podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Mr. Jedediah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Man, such an honor to be on. Excited to have an incredible conversation and hopefully inspire hope to everyone that's listening.
Absolutely, man. What I was telling you before we got on here was you got some juice, brother. I want you to first off tell our listeners, you guys are coming off an absolutely insane event that happened in Los Angeles, California, One Day LA. I mean, Justin Bieber, Chance the Rapper, Tori Kelly, Jaden Smith, Chandler Moore, Carrie Joe, the list goes on. Jedediah, to begin, could you just help our listeners understand what in the world was happening out in LA?
Yeah, such a good question. It's been a wild run, and I'd like to say God's just been extremely kind and extremely gracious. But yeah, we were actually finished. It was actually a year-long movement.
Yeah.
So it felt like 1 week and then this culminating moment. But really for 1 year, we've been wanting to put on the greatest display of love Los Angeles has ever experienced and really focus on a handful of initiatives. And that's been taking place for over a year. So we eradicated, I think, over $30 million in medical debt for 16,000 families that got a letter in the mail that said, your debt's been forgiven. Feel free to start your financial future. No strings attached. We've had our foster initiative, which right now over 1,600 families have stepped up to consider fostering or adopting. We filmed 64 kids' stories stuck in the system that's never been told. We have this incredible prison initiative. Right now there's actually a hope community and a message of hope going to all 35 prisons in the state of California. So this was a year-long campaign that ended with One Day LA. And what One Day LA was 641 different faith communities, different NGOs, people that set aside their logos, their labels, and their egos to unite with one vision and one voice to love Los Angeles and that city. And through that entire week, 20,000 volunteers were a part of so many different outreaches. We had sports clinics, medical brigades, food distribution, back to school bashes. Zach, that week we closed 200 child protective service cases that were open, which means that week 200 families were going to lose their kids to child welfare. But instead of CPS showing up to remove their kids, the One Day LA actually give them what was needed, whether it was a bed frame, dressers, extra clothes, refrigerators. On Saturday, the day of the event, we actually gave a brand new Jeep Renegade away to a father who was raising his kids in Skid Row for 10 years. He lived in a tent for 10 years on the street. He entered into a rehabilitation program. He's been in it for the last 6 months. He has a job and he skateboards to work. He's actually at the Dream Center, one of our great partners, you know, Pastor Matthew Barnett, and he skates to work every day, and it's on national news. He literally thinks him and his teenage kids now are about to get free access pass to the freedom experience. And so it's live, I believe it's KTLA, and they're like, hey, we got you these tickets, and they're all excited, like, how are you gonna get to the event? And he goes, well, I guess we're gonna have to skateboard there. It's exact words. And they go why don't you turn around and use this instead. And here's a brand new 2021 Jeep Renegade. The taxes have been paid. The insurance has been paid. So you didn't inherit this big elephant you got to take care of now, you know, as you're figuring it out. And that happened all week long. And then it culminated with what the Freedom Experience was, which you could not get access to that event unless you served. So it was really creating a new model, which we would say is social activism, not clicktivism. Now, obviously, I'm going to stop talking because I could keep going. What happened that night was unbelievable. And if you missed it, if you're listening right now and you somehow missed the Freedom Experience, you can go to onedayla.com. And I would encourage you, it is a family program. I would set it up at home, get your surround sound on, get some popcorn, bring some friends in. And onedayla.com, you can watch the whole experience. And it's pretty unbelievable.
That is That is insane, Jedediah. I mean, I can hear the passion in your voice. Like you said, you could talk about it all day. I challenge all listeners up front. Go to onedayla.com. Watch the Freedom Experience. And like you said, though, you guys have been working on this initiative that ended or culminated in the One Day LA. But for the people that attend, for the people that watch, this is just the beginning for them. And that's what I love about what you're doing, Jedediah. You know, I want to dive in. What we do with the Built Different podcast is we like to look at the backwater or the story or the process that gets somebody to where they're at. I mean, who in the world is this Jedediah Thurner guy that has all of this passion oozing out of him, that is stoked about this One Day LA and making the difference in the impact that you are? But how did you get there? You know, I've heard you say that you were raised in a missionary kid home.
That's right.
You lived in over 100 homes by the age you were 21, and you really,
unfortunately.
And the entire time, you know, you said that you didn't live in poverty, but you lived like you were in poverty. And so your biggest goal was to really make money and make a lot of it and change the norm for your family.
It's so true.
But the biggest thing, you know, what was the moment for you, Jedediah, that really it changed or transformed the trajectory of your life when you realized it's not about the success? I want to live a life of significance.
Yeah, it's so good. I think you might have said it better than I would say it, but that is the story. You know, I have my parents are my heroes. They're still alive. My dad was actually at the Freedom Experience. It was beautiful. They're in their 70s. But yeah, I grew up a missionary's kid. And I think for those of you that maybe grew up in any form of poverty or lack, or just in maybe a religious, you know, construct that seemed controlling or limiting. And so my parents basically did what the leadership they were a part of did, and it was give everything away, have nothing. No one in my entire family of seven had gone to college and graduated. I was the second youngest. No one in my entire family ever owned a home when I went to college. And I was the first one in my family to own a home. And you nailed it. I went to college with the goal to play football and not to be poor. Yeah. I met my wife at college, and she said, I'll never forget. She said, I'll never marry a pastor, a preacher, a missionary, an evangelist. And I said, sign me up. My exact words were, sign me up. I just want to be rich and write large tithe checks, like anything to be poor. And we actually, if we're being honest, for our level of life, did that. We owned a few businesses and were successful. The first home my parents owned, we gave to them. And that was the life we're living. And there was a lot of moments, we don't have time. There's a lot of incredible moments with Jesus that changed it all. I think one of them was one day I was just really knowing I needed more. And I felt him speak to my spirit, you're building your own kingdom.
Wow.
And I go, what do you mean? I was like, I'm going to church. You know, I don't want to do that. I'm tithing. I'm a volunteer. I think I was working in the nursery at the time. I'm running businesses. I was like, I'm doing all these things for you. And he's like, No, you're building facets of my kingdom around you as king.
Mm.
So it looks like you're doing it for me, but you're really doing it for you. And you're in control, calling dots. And you really don't trust me. And I'll never forget him. I said, what do you want me to do? And he's like, I just want you to wait for me. Like, don't do anything and work until I show up. And I did that for 30 days. I sat around listening to worship music, not knowing what to do. And on the 30th day, he showed up and basically encountered me for about a year, to be honest, which changed everything. And in that journey, I think I realized when I finally got the stuff I thought I needed to find significance or identity, I was like, what changes with more of this? And I'm for massive success. I pray everyone listening is multimillionaires. Like, I'm for mad success. But I'm like, if I get more successful, it might add more square footage to my house. It might get me another home. It might change the brand on my car. But for me, it was like nothing else really changed. And at that point, that's when I was like, I don't want my life to look like, if my prayers get answered, the only thing that changes is my world, not the world.
Wow.
And I think so many of us are in that spot. It's like, if God answered every one of your prayers, what really changed?
Yeah.
Did your job level change? Did your comfort change? Or did the world change? And that's when I was like, I don't want if my dreams come true, my life to get better. I want if my dreams come true, which are God's dreams, that the world would get better. And that's where everything changed from, I think also not needing to be the winner, quote unquote, but redefining what winning looked like, which for me, in my old life, being a competitive athlete, there was only one winner, which means everyone else was a loser. And so I spent a lot of time helping people lose so I could win.
Yeah.
And then God and my wife, I pray, eradicated my pride. And Zach, you're invited into that now to help. But he redefined winning as helping everyone win.
Yeah.
And right now, if all you do is go, how do I help this person win? How do I help this brand win? How do I help the church win? How do I help my friends win? It's really hard to lose when winning is defined as helping everyone win.
Amen. Amen.
And those were some of the moments that really shifted and shaped everything for me.
Amen, man. That's such powerful stuff, because I played college baseball at Liberty University for 4 years, so I get it. I understand what you mean by that definition of winning. But like you said, having dreams and goals that aren't just going to change my world, but change the world, and for other people especially, that's right. Man, that's fulfilling. And that's what we should be seeking at the end of the day. Such powerful stuff, man. I love what you're bringing.
I would add too, you know, and you nailed it. I think for me, and this could have been your next question, I'm jumping in, but yeah. One of the things that's so key in my personal journey and my wife's journey is how do you define success? Mm. Like, end of the day, how you define this success will determine what you value,
Amen.
What you measure, and what you move towards. Mm. Your definition of success will determine what you value, what you measure, and what you move towards. Mm. And when it becomes to people that have faith, and that faith is in Jesus and in God, our definition of success is drastically different than the world's.
That's right.
So for me and my wife has one word that defines success. And that's obedience.
Mm.
That is it.
That's it.
At the end of the day, if you are obedient, you are massively irrationally successful, which is the good news is anyone watching today can be a success.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone listening today can be a success by simply obeying God. And when you get to heaven, he's not going to say, well done, good and famous servant, or well done, good and financially blessed servant. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful, good and obedient servant. So the questions I ask myself daily is, am I obeying God? And obeying God might be taking less pay.
Mm.
It might be taking a bigger job. It might be changing careers. It might look smaller for a period of time. But if you were in obedience, you were massively successful. And that changed our lives.
Man, that's so good. Because like you're saying, I think that's a lot of our spiritual walks. Sometimes we strive for, you know, perfection. But like you said, the goal is not perfection. The goal is obedience. And obedience
that's right.
is the winning piece. Man, that's I love it. I love it, man.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, as you continue to talk, just about this relationship with God, stepping out, moving forward, stepping up for him and his kingdom. You know, I've watched a video of you where you were preaching, dude, and the Spirit was absolutely moving. I've watched it several times now. And you mentioned, you say, anybody that has a feeling or a calling from the Lord, their drug of choice is comfort or convenience. Man, Jedediah, too many of us, you talked about how Christianity, we want Christianity comfortable. But brother, help us understand why the best things in life, they cost us something.
Yeah, that's such a great, I remember actually, you know, the message you're referencing. And
yeah.
I think of every individual's journey, and when it comes to believers, that is the drug of choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the drug of choice is comfort. It's, you know, we want, did we have our parking spot saved? Are they singing the songs we want? Is the air condition at the right church? Our worship leader on, you know, is the onboarding process 2 weeks instead of 5 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want our culture is creating that, right? We want everything as easy and convenient as possible.
Right.
You know, if you think about it, we want to lose weight in 30 days. We want cheat sheets instead of study guides.
Mm-hmm.
We want handouts instead of hard work. We want welfare instead of a job. We want our destiny at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we want, but the greatest things in life will cost you something.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing is when you think about what Jesus did for us is he didn't try to buy us back cheap.
That's right.
He didn't go and say, how can I get you back at a discount? He all he had to do was drop one drop of blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he had to do, right?
That's
all
right.
He had to do is like one form of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to go through the whips, the mocking, the beating, the punishing, but he even confined himself to his own creation and for 30 years didn't even preach a message, which is none of us could wait that long.
Right.
Nothing about the journey was convenient or comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It cost something, but here's the good news. The reason why we avoid discomfort or avoid what I would say the cross, right? Because Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to pick up your cross. How many people avoid the cross because we don't understand the point of the cross. We look at the cross and we think the point of the cross is suffering. We think the point of the cross is death. We think the point of the cross is sacrifice. That's not the point of the cross. That's a part of the cross.
That's right.
The point of the cross is new life. The point of the cross is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living inside of you. The point of the cross is that you become the new creation. The point of the cross is that you have everything that has been promised to Jesus and his people, that you have access to that inheritance. The point of the cross is purpose. The point of the cross is blessing. But we avoid a part of the cross because we don't have a revelation for the point of the cross. And I can tell you what we've done, what you've done, Zach, requires sacrifice, requires giving up of things, requires a cost.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, there's actually something waiting for us on the other side.
Mm.
If we're willing to embrace a part, to receive the point. Another way I would say it, I'm sorry for getting in my little tangent here, I won't use the exact Bible reference, but do your own biblical due diligence. There's a story in the Bible, parables being told, and Jesus says these words. He says, who builds a house without first counting the cost? Right. Remember, he says, count the cost of following me. Yeah. And then he goes, who builds a house without first counting the cost so that they have enough money to finish the house? Right. And then he says, what king goes to war without counting the men he has to see if he has enough men to win the battle? Mm. But here's a part of the scripture that's implied but not written. Mm. If you build a house, there is equity created in that investment. So I used to do real estate, and a spec builder goes in and goes, hey, it's going to cost me $1 million to build this house, but I can sell it for 1.4. So it's not just what's the cost, it's what's the reward. If you think about a king that goes to war, it's not just can I win the war, I'm not just counting the cost to go to battle, I'm counting the cost of battle versus the reward.
Amen.
And so I think for so many believers, we're literally going, wait, it's costing me something up front. It's like, no. It's like a guy who invests in a house, there's equity, or a guy who goes to war, there's spoils. Mm. Like there's actually a greater reward waiting for you. Just embrace the part so you can experience the point.
Man, that's so good. Embrace the parts, because like you're saying, it's going to cost you something. This Christian, this faith walk, it's going to cost you something. It may cost you reputation. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you these relationships. But at the end of the day, you are going to get the price of victory, my friends. That's what Jedediah is saying right here. And man, you're preaching. I think, you know, when you think of Jesus and what he did on the cross, he is the epitome of what it looks like to be a leader in our culture today. And Jedediah, you've done a lot of like work and looking into it, and you're a leader yourself. I mean, you're an executive director of Mission Me. You're the co-founder of the event we talked about up front in One Day LA. Dude, you know what leadership is. So if you could just help our listeners understand, what have you understood that leadership is as compared to what leadership is not?
Well, I think Jesus's model of leadership is serving.
Yeah.
Right? So in our world, most people, and I don't disagree, we say leadership is influence, but I think you have to go farther than that, because I can put a gun to your head and get you to give me your money,
right,
and that would be influence, but that's not leadership.
That's right.
So there's a difference. When you merge influence and leadership together, it becomes this blurry thing that is not in its truest form. Mm. So for me, when I look at leadership, I separate and I go, it's not just what leadership is, right, it's what leadership does.
Mm.
What does leadership does? Leadership says, you're first. Leadership says, I'm going to assume the best. Leadership says, I'm going to sacrifice. What did Jesus do? I'm actually going to die for you so that you can be the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so often we go, I'm the leader, I want you to die for me so that I can be the best version of yourself. But that's not God's model for leadership.
Yeah.
And I've learned, I mean, we're on this never ending journey of not arriving, right?
Yeah.
It's been this log of lessons learned, and we're never going to get there, Zach, and say, we did it. I know I've always volunteered at whatever church I'm a part of, sometimes officially on staff, sometimes not, but I've always volunteered. And there's seasons where you're, you know, someone who's a part of a community like that, and you go, man, I got better ideas than the leader.
Yeah.
You know, my plan would work better. I have a better system. And guess what? For those of you who maybe are part of any organization or part of ministry life, you might be right. But what I've learned is the best idea in honor doesn't even compare to an average idea in unity.
Mm.
The best idea in dishonor will never do what an average idea in unity will produce.
Wow.
And I had moments where I just say, hey, I might have a great idea and I want to be ambitious. And this is way back. I mean, this is years ago. Thank God. It's like, I want to get myself out there. And then it was like, wait a second. I'm not the person. I'm not the primary vision caster or carrier.
Mm.
I'm just going to submit afraid it's going to take me farther than my ambition. And I've seen the fruit of that. Things that have also shaped leadership, which I think every leader needs to hear, is, you know, there's levels of leadership. And you can't judge a level of leadership you don't live on.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people get frustrated in life, period, by trying to assess a world they don't know or critique it or attack it.
Yeah.
But they don't have that staff or that annual budget or that infrastructure. And so they're literally trying to judge levels they don't live on. So I always say, one, I'm not going to judge a level I don't live on, but there's non-negotiables on every level. And no matter how far you go, how much influence or affluence you have, how big you become, scripturally, pride's not optional.
Mm.
Pride's not optional. It's actually not an option. It's actually a God repellent.
Mm.
You know, the Bible says that God resists the pride. In some translations, he says opposes the pride. Imagine, it's saying God is opposition to pride.
Wow.
And for my life, the line of work that I've signed up for, which is I run out and God runs in, it's the impossible. It's not my ideas. It's God's ideas.
Right.
I can't afford for him to be opposition to me. I can't afford for him to oppose me or to resist me because everything I'm saying yes to is dependent on him doing it.
That's right.
It's me saying you can do it. That's pretty much it. Another one is I always say, show me your schedule and I'll show you your values.
Yes.
You know, so often leaders say, I love my family, but they don't have family vacation scheduled. I love my wife, but they don't have a date. Mm. You know, I want to be in shape, but I don't have an appointment at the gym.
Yes.
And it's like, the reality is you show me your schedule and I'll show you your values. And if you value it, you actually schedule it. And these are some of the things that, you know, I think have shaped who I am right now as a leader.
Dude, I tell you what, these are remarkable. Seriously, I'm over here just jotting things down as you're saying it, because I mean, I'm going to just sit on these and meditate on some of these points that you're really bringing up. And I think what you're saying is, I love what you said about unity. Leaders need to understand that power is in relationship, man, at the end of the day. And like you said, it's not what leadership is, it's what leadership does. And I think a big aspect of relationships, right, is love. And that's something that you base your whole entire ministry around. You know, I think of 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Jedediah, One Day LA, its theme, love has no limits. You have personally seen the power and the impact of love, so help our listeners understand, what can love do?
That's so good, man. You're setting up the best questions. You got to go turn in. You got to tune into every podcast and invite all your friends to listen to this thing, because Zach's asking phenomenal questions. I think for us, if we were to be honest, hate's just not working. If you think about what we've dealt with the last 17, 18 months with this pandemic, with the political cycle, with the disunity across the nation, with the division that we've seen globally, hate's just not working. And if we're to be honest, it actually never has and it never will. And at this juncture of us as humans sharing the same measuring metrics called time, as we look towards how we're going to successfully win the future, love's our only option. And here's what's beautiful about love for those listening. When we look at humanity through the lens of love, love within its framework has value. So I love my parents. We love each other. We don't always agree. We are different human beings, but because I love them, I value them, even their differences, even in disagreement. And the reality is that when we look at humanity through the lens of love, there is value for every human being. There's value in the incarcerated. There's value in the overlooked. There's value in the marginalized. There's value in the addict. There's value in the single mom who lost her kid. There's value in the orphan. And the moment we see humanity through the lens of love and give them value, what we do, Zach, is give them dignity. And the moment we give this world dignity, we can do anything together. And that's really what we experience with Love Has No Limits. These were all different types of individuals who voted different, who would go to different types of faith communities or not be a part of one at all. But all of them said, this is something we can agree on, and that is loving each other. And what's so beautiful about the moment we experienced, it wasn't a certain brand of belief being the great white hope, you know, or the missionaries trying to rescue lost people. It was people with broken people, hurting people, loving humanity together. At the end of the day, I feel like what God has been trying to do for a while now is, one, reintroduce himself as the God of love. This is the word we're supposed to be known for. It was supposed to be our calling card. It was supposed to be the word that describes us. Like, this is your reputation. This is your trademark. This is your brand. This is what God said. It says, like this, people will know, one, that you're my disciple. Two, that God sent me. The testimony of how we love each other, you're supposed to validate what God did. And when we walk away from that, we lose the testimony. And I feel God saying, I want to reintroduce myself as a God of love. I want to rebrand the church as the vehicle that loves. And obviously reintroduce the as Christians and believers as people who love. And I feel in this moment, there's the hands of faith communities are being opened so wide to say so everyone wide. And anyone can come in. Everyone and anyone can be a part of this conversation. And if we look at where we're headed in this nation, I don't think we have another option. And you can do this daily. You don't have to have an NGO or have a podcast or even have a business. It's literally, the action of love is simply so simple. It's looking at people differently first and then giving them dignity. And if you do that, anything can happen.
Man, What a word for the country right now. You know what I mean? I think there's no greater time than to share exactly what you just shared, that we serve a God of love. We serve a God who delights in impossibility. I mean, politically, racially, spiritually, whatever it is, all the different junk that's going around our country right now, there's no other option but love. Because like you said, hate and disrespect and all this other stuff, it ain't working. So love is the only option because like you said, it gives us value, which then produces dignity. Man, so amazing. I could literally sit here and talk to you all day, Jedediah. I know the clock's running out, but man, you know, just in closing, I follow you on social media, on Instagram in particular, and I was watching a video that you produced and just came out with, and you're just sitting there talking. You told a story. It's an old tale about the African desert plains and how the sun rises on a gazelle every morning, and the gazelle wakes up with the reality that it needs to run that day as fast as the fastest lion to survive. But then on the same day, the same sun that rises on the African plain rises on a lion who has to wake up with the reality that he has to run as fast as the fastest gazelle so that he can eat that day. And the reality of what you're sharing is that it doesn't matter who you are in the story. If you're the lion or the gazelle, you just need to start running. Jedediah, there's somebody listening to this podcast episode today that's struggling. I mean, they're sucking air. They feel like they're drowning. They feel like they don't know where to go, where to turn, where to look. They need help. What is your word of hope, encouragement, and motivation for that person today to get up, to start running, and to start moving forward?
Yeah, what a great statement. Yeah, I think for me, and I'm thinking about that person, I wish I was sitting with you at a meal somewhere having a coffee, whoever's listening, yeah. That is that individual that's struggling, that wants to give up, that wants to quit, that wants to make a bad decision, that's simply exhausted, maybe has never won before, maybe never overcame, maybe never conquered, and thinking it's bliss. The thing that I know is that where you start with God does not determine where you finish. So no matter where you're at in this journey or your season or your story or whatever narrative has been drafted up until this point, all you have to do is take that first step to Jesus, that first step to God. And no matter where you start, it does not determine where you finish. I think about Moses, who's, you know, this ancient character in the Bible who leads the oppressed Israelites out of 400 years of slavery. And Moses, when he gets picked, is an orphan. He's an immigrant. He is a murderer. He is an outcast. He's an outlaw. He's a runaway. And he's living in the desert working for his father-in-law. And he's a stutterer. He's like, hey, man, this is like the best. And God goes, you're the guy. You're the guy that I'm going to use and be etched in stone forever. Like, you're the guy, Moses, that I'm going to use. And some would have never thought that he would be the guy. We would never thought. And the reality is you might have way better qualifications than Moses. I'm sure most people listening are not a murderer, are not an outlaw, you know, don't meet some of those requirements. And that means no matter where you're at, just start taking the next step. And I would say just start moving. What I've realized is that what happens is people stop in a season and then they get stuck. There's people that literally deal with a financial crisis, maybe a loss of a loved one in this pandemic. Maybe you just lost some friends or lost your job. And, you know, maybe you just made a bad decision or you started a habit that's now become an addiction and you just stopped. And once you stop, you get stuck. And the reality is as believers, it says the kingdom of God is always advancing. We are always supposed to be moving forward. We're always supposed to taking steps toward Jesus. And here's the good news. We don't have to just move to a counselor. Don't have to just move to a recovery program. Don't have to just move to the news or move to our favorite media outlet. We get to move to Jesus Christ. And in him, you will find the hope and you will find the help and you will find new life. And we are all tested. What happens when God gets involved in your life? He's just the master. Taking broken pieces and taking masterpieces. He takes the shard, fragmented, fractured, broken pieces of our life and puts them together to build this beautiful mosaic for his light to be shined through for the entire world to see. So you might be listening and saying, my life's just a bunch of broken pieces. Perfect. Mm. You've never been more qualified for God to take your broken mess and make his best work in that incredible masterpiece that he has designed you for. And you might not feel wanted, but you need to know you are here and alive today, not simply because of divine design. God crafted you and created you to be alive right now in this moment, but also divine desire. God just didn't design you to be alive right now. He actually desired you to be alive, which means you are wanted, you are loved, you are accepted, you are valuable, and your next step will be your best step. Just start moving towards Jesus again and watch what he can do when you put your life back in his hands.
Amen. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Only Jesus can do that. I love what you said. Where you start with God is not where you will finish. God is always there. He's always pursuing. We serve a pursuer God. We serve a jealous God who wants your heart. And that's so powerful what Jedidiah is sharing, that even in the midst of your brokenness, God heals all the wounds. He brings the hope. He brings the help. He brings the healing to our life. Jedidiah, one more time, where can we look you up to find more additional resources and to watch the Freedom Experience?
Yeah, you guys can go to onedayla.com and you actually can experience the whole 2.5 hour show, which, as you said, was unbelievable, you know, with that entire lineup. And I'm telling you, some of you might be listening going, I don't know those artists, or maybe I wouldn't listen to them regularly because you have a different style. And that could be any of them, you know, depending on who you are in the spectrum. I can tell you what happened that night only God could have done, and you will all agree God was a part of. Like, that is evident. Go to onedayla.com. You can also find out more about other movements like this coming to other cities. The reality is we don't feel like this was a one-off, but that there are cities across America that God wants to begin to restore and to rebuild and to reconcile. And if we can get our cities back, we can get our nation back, we get our nations back, we're going to continue to change the world.
Jedidiah, if you ever want to do a one-day VA out here in Virginia, man, I am on board with that, sir.
Let's go.
Let me tell you something, Jedidiah, thank you so much. I seriously challenge all listeners, go to One Day LA, watch the Freedom Experience. It is going to be absolutely amazing, and it is life-changing, you guys. Please do that. Jedidiah, thank you so much for what you do, for the difference you make, for the impact and the influence you're having on so many lives across America, and for ultimately pointing people back to Jesus. Jedidiah, we appreciate you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, man. It's such an honor. As I've said to my team for about 10 years, I'm just lucky to be in the conversation. I don't care if I hold the mic, hold the door, if I stand on the stage or build it, if I shake the hand of the king or carry the backpack of a kid. I'm just lucky God would allow me to be in the room, lucky God would allow me to touch the miracle. I don't care what seat I have. I'm just lucky that we get to be a part of this conversation and what God's doing. Thank you for amplifying this moment, man, and the incredible privilege of being on with you, and love what you're doing, man.
Appreciate you, man. My goodness, what a powerful episode with Mr. Jedidiah. I'm juiced. I'm hyped, man. I'm excited. I'm ready to go on and take out the world today with just giving and expressing and spreading as much love as I possibly can. Because, man, Jedidiah, he hit the nail on the head. Anything worth valuing in this life is going to cost us something. My prayer is that you would give up your time, that you would give effort, that you would give something, not only to press in closer and deeper and more intimately in a relationship personally with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also to give up something and to sacrifice something to show somebody else how much you love them and to show somebody else how much God loves them. Let me tell you something. God loves you. He wants your heart. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. He just wants you to have an open and a willing heart that is able and willing to pursue him all of your days. Because I promise you, he is constantly on the pursuit for you and your heart as well. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss next week. So I'm sure we will see you next time here on the Built Different podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. As we close today, we want to remind you about the upcoming Waymaker World Conference. This world premier Christian counseling event will be held in Orlando, Florida, September 15th through September 18th. Over the last 14 years, the World Conference has sold out with nearly 7,000 counselors, coaches, pastors, chaplains, and more, representing all 50 states and over 40 countries. To find out more, go to worldconference.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton.
Hi there, this is Jessica from the Built Different podcast team. As a reminder, you can listen to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Stitcher. Whatever platform you choose, please remember to subscribe to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Also, if you happen to catch the show on Apple Podcast, please leave us a review. Thanks again for tuning in to the Built Different podcast.